listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Dennis Bernstein, and it's time for Community Business with Catherine Austin Fitz. She is our translator, our guide between Wall Street and Main Street, a former high-level official in the first Bush administration, a former Wall Street partner, banker, and a friend to all of us for quite a long time. Catherine, welcome back to Flashpoints.
Dennis, it's great to be back.
I'm just sort of worried about all these things we've been talking about now for the last year that seem to be
coming to a head,
you know, in terms of pension funds and, you know, foreclosures and the second wave. And why don't you just sort of take a look around for us and tell us what you see happening?
Well, the Buddha says those who are awake live in a state of constant amazement. And I just spent a day in the money markets where literally what you've got is you've got billions and billions of dollars, and it goes to a place, and then it says, oh, my God, there's a wolf here. And then it runs over the mountain to be safe, and it says, oh, there's a tiger here. And then it runs over, you know, and what everybody's discovering this week, it's the sovereign debt problems, is that if you decimate your real economy, then ultimately, you know, there's no safe place for your money. There's no safe place in a lawless land. And what we're watching with this debt overhang, just extraordinary amounts of debt in, you know, both in Europe and here and around the world, is, what are we going to do with all this debt? How are we going to handle it? Now, behind that is, of course, the fact that this debt comes from printing lots of money, and debt is really a way you control everything. But there's no doubt this year we're in a game of musical chairs. Whether, you know, this week it's Greece, but in a month or two it's going to be California, which you know well. And the unfortunate things that's happening, if the planet was under adult supervision, what we would do, Dennis, is we would sit down and say, well, how can we change things so we get back to being productive and, you know, we can handle our obligations, whether it's debt or pension funds. The reality is, if you watch what's happening this week, we're watching really serious trade wars break out all around the world, except we're not calling them trade wars. In the 1930s, we would pass a law and say, you can't bring Japanese cars in here. But we're not doing that. Suddenly we're saying all the Japanese cars have safety problems and need to have recalls. And the Secretary of Transportation is going to badmouth them and tell you shouldn't drive your car. Now, you notice that happened right after the government got a big equity position in General Motors, which is an amazing coincidence. So now these are safety issues that the government can make money on because GM's market share goes up. But we just saw an announcement today that China is indicting 4 Rio Tinto employees for behavior during negotiations last year. You know, so now we're talking about trade wars where people get accused of criminal things. And so we're seeing a new viciousness, and the problem is, as people's fight for market share and cash flow gets more vicious, of course it makes the problem worse. So, we're in a little bit of a negative spiral, and as we've talked about so many times before, this is kind of a reminder to everybody of, maybe we need to sit down in our community and say, okay, how can we create jobs to do something, you know, that we all would find useful. And the positive this week is I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people saying, well, you know, why don't we take some of these defaulted homes and why don't we start gardening and building a farm? So, I don't know, have you ever had the guys from Milwaukee who have the farm up in Milwaukee on the program?
No, I haven't.
We should do that for community business because that's a model. There's so much that can be done with growing food in the city and now with permaculture. And now that you've got so many people with time on their hands, there's a lot of opportunity. So that's the positive. As more people watch what's going on, they say, you know, I hate to say it, when we saw all the testimony over the last couple of weeks on the AIG deal with the Secretary of Treasury, I mean, you just said, this is not a government that's under adult supervision. And the ultimate reminder today was when Obama said, I think the guys at Goldman and J.P. Morgan paying themselves $9 million or $17 million bonus is fine because I believe in free enterprise. Well, you know, and then he compared it to baseball players. And I just wanted to say, you know, Mr. President, there's a difference between hitting a home run and stealing.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. That's Catherine Austin Fitz. Every Wednesday on this show, we have a segment called Community Business, and we've been doing this for some time with Catherine, and we're trying to keep track of what's going on in the community. And I really do, Catherine. We're going to figure out a way. I'm going to come down there. We'll do the show.
Oh, that would be fabulous.
For a week or two, we'll go over to the farm.
That would be fabulous.
We'll see what it looks like from there. Now, some listeners, we're broadcasting from Berkeley today, from the studios of KPFA in Berkeley, California, and we're obviously in Northern California, across the bay from San Francisco. A lot of listeners in California. Can you talk for a moment about the specific problems that California has? You know, so goes California goes, so goes the country. Could you talk a little bit about California?
Sure. California has last year and now this year is coming into very significant budget problems. And the question is, how do you balance the budget? And, of course, the more you cut expenses, the more layoffs you're going to get, not just of government employees, but then the retail trade and other businesses that relate to their economic activity. So it's kind of in a spiral down. And that's one problem. The second problem, Dennis, is that California is the number one borrower from the Unemployment Insurance Compensation Fund. You know, so you've gone into a deficit, and you're borrowing from the federal government. So that's problem number two. Problem number three is, and there's no way to know what the truth is on this, but California has very significant pension funds, CalPERS and CalSTRS for the public employees and the teachers, and while the banks had toxic paper on their books and got floated out by the federal government, my guess is there's a lot of toxic paper in the pension funds, you know, that did not get bailed out. And so there's going to be an issue over time is how you manage a drop in value from what should have been or could have been in the pension funds. And as those drops occur, then the pension funds are going to be turning around to the various governmental entities and saying, well, you need to put more money for pension funds in your budget. So there's going to be a sort of an intergenerational tension between figuring out how you handle the retirement benefit issues. All three of those reflect an early stage of a problem that every state in this union is going to face, and that is, if the federal government can print money and you can't print money, then it's only a matter of time until you're bankrupt and they own and control you. Now, last year we saw California say, well, you know, we're going to need to print our own money and create IOUs. And interestingly enough, the system fell down because J.P. Morgan Chase and the people who print the federal money for the New York Federal Reserve, the owners of the New York Federal Reserve, said, we won't take your paper. And so what we're going to see this year is really more understanding in the population. We're seeing tremendous interest in the issue of sound money and the understanding of the pain that the Federal Reserve and their ability to print money and just, you know, sort of use it to control society. There's much more understanding of what that's doing to us politically. So it's going to be very interesting because if you look at all the real solutions, they require dramatic reengineering of both federal and state money. And of course, that's all possible where there's political alignments to do it. But before you can build those political alignments, you've got to understand it. And it's very hard for a society that's been living way beyond its means and you know, a society where huge amounts of money are being siphoned out the back door. Because my guess, I can't prove this in a court of law, but my guess is the amount of money that's been skimmed off all the different pots and pools of government money in California is probably pretty significant.
Listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio, Community Business with Catherine Austin Fitz. And we're talking a little bit about California. We've seen some banks fail. What are, you know, when you're looking... sort of what kind of little cracks do you already see in the bedrock of the economy?
Well, the cracks I see, because I end up talking on the phone a lot to people from California. I haven't been out there for a month or two. I was out there, I guess, about 2 months ago. Is the stress in people's voices. In other words, what you're hearing is real strain. A parent or a family or just an individual anticipate, you know, they made commitments with an assumption of what their time available would be and what their money available would be. And they're dealing with a very kind of sneaky inflation where their expenses are rising and their incomes are falling, but the stress on their time is much greater. So you're seeing people feel very stressed and very strained and trying to just solve their problem by working harder, working longer. And the time is coming when we really have to sit down with family and neighbors and say, okay, how can we rethink how we're doing everything? And one of the things is, you know, many of us were trained to, you know, if we needed something more, we just go make more money. We're all going to have to get very clever about re-engineering our expenses down. And that's why I keep coming back to, you know, the basics, food, energy. Where is it we can create employment, whether we get paid with money or with barter, to do more for ourselves and each other in a place? Because there's a lot we can do with community and helping each other with these issues to make this period, you know, either much more wonderful and certainly a lot less painful, but it's going to take the rebuilding of community, and that for many people that's a big thing to do. You know, if you're an introvert, that's painful.
Yeah, but really rebuilding some of the key community institutions. You know, that the savings and loan did used to be a local bank, and it did in fact cater to people, you know, who were trying to open up small business or just trying to buy a house. There really was a local bank for people. It does not exist anymore.
Right, but how do you build a community where people really respect and love each other when you're in a culture where there's a group of people trying to kill you? And you know, part of doing that is saying, look, there's some people here, they're really trying to steal and kill everything, you know, kill us and steal everything we have. And so it is what it is. How do we build something beautiful inside of that? You can do it, but you've got to stop pretending that those other people aren't trying to kill you. And no, but that's why it's very important not to go through the next cycle saying, let's spend all of our time and money working on the presidential election and getting our hopes up that that's going to make a difference, because then we're just going to get sucked down the blind alley again. You know, and after a lot of money and time, we're going to end up with, you know, a president telling us that after gifting billions of dollars to Goldman Sachs and saving them with FDIC insurance and everything else, you know, that the guy who runs it deserves to be paid massive amounts of money when we know children are going hungry. You know, so we need to start investing our time in things that are real and that can bring concrete reality, you know, or can bring benefits in concrete reality. Because if 3,100 counties make sure that 3,100 counties are run right, then whoever is president, it will have far less damaging impact. And ultimately, this is going to come down. I don't know if I've ever told you, I'm always being asked by people, you know, will my gold be confiscated? And my question to them when they ask me that is, who's your sheriff? And, the sheriff has the most powerful jurisdiction in a place. The federal government, under the Constitution, there's dual sovereignty, and the federal government does not have jurisdiction under the Constitution in many areas, and theoretically, the sheriff can just say, you leave, you have no jurisdiction here, I won't let you in. And so where a community really backs and supports a good sheriff, and you know the law, you have real power, particularly if, you know, more and more counties and sheriffs do that. So, you know, this election time, if you have to choose between the federal election and your local sheriff, I would focus on your local sheriff.
That's the voice of Catherine Austin Fitz. Every week we speak with her on community business. We're going to have to cook up some special. There's plenty to do. There's so much to say, but we're out of time. If you want to communicate with Catherine, solari.com/blog. You can talk directly to her about her writing, her work,
We appreciate Catherine always having with us.
Thank you, Dennis.
Talk to you next week. You are listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Thank you to our finest at the board today.